What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yeah, that's right. It is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts. And as always, I'm joined with my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Hello there.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at 2004's Christmas comedy, Christmas with the Cranks, directed by Joe Roth.
In this friendly little town, there lived an enchanting family named the Cranks. Every year, they would celebrate Christmas together.
Merry Christmas!
Until the year their daughter Blair left for the holidays.
This won't be the same.
Then, Luther got a brilliant idea.
We skip Christmas.
We'll go bask in the Caribbean sun.
We skip Christmas?
What's up? No Christmas Eve party?
Run away from Christmas, huh?
A lot of the neighbors are pretty upset.
Frosty?
They do not get frosty.
Nora, stop the car. Talk to me, Nora. Please.
What?
Based on the best-selling novel, Skipping Christmas.
We have only 12 hours, so we're going to perform a little Christmas miracle. Ah! I'm getting the ham. Ah! You get the tree.
Tim Allen.
Your face. It's like it's frozen.
I got a Botox injection today.
Luther.
And Jamie Lee Curtis. Ah! Christmas with the Cranks.
What are you doing, Luther? Whoa! Easy! Whoa!
Oh. I was going to read something else there.
Where were you going to read?
It's because it's based on a John Grisham novel. Anyway.
Oh.
We are now in the podcast. So, yay, I'm guessing that you've never seen this before.
I know a lot about this film. I have seen a part of it. One of the teachers in my high school put it on one Christmas, so I have seen a bit of it. I've seen so many YouTube videos about this film for it being terrible. It's been on a lot of people's like lists of talking about the film. Some big YouTubers have talked about it. One is JonTron. He made a video about it. He's quite a big YouTuber and talk about like kind of how stupid and kind of bad the film is. And of course, there's the absolute score that the critics have given us on Rotten Tomatoes as well. This is first watch, fully first watch anyway. Yeah.
It's a bit of a strange one. It's we have Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis playing Luther and Nora Crank. This obviously isn't Tim Allen's first foray into Christmas movies. He's probably known to most people as the Santa Claus, which is coming up, yeah, in the list on the series. I'm hoping that is a better viewing experience than this one. What really strikes me about this film, though, is it's based on a John Grisham novel called Skipping Christmas. I'm pretty sure that like John Grisham's wrote some amazing books. Not that I've read them, but I know that a lot of his books, or at least a fair few of them, have been adapted into relatively decent films. Wonder kind of what's happened here.
I've got a theory. I think they looked at the title, and then that's all they looked at. I don't know. This film is a dumpster fire at times. It's like what. It's like, one thing I will say is, this is still, Jonathan was just telling me, this is probably, this is the lowest film we've done in the podcast so far, and it probably will be. I don't think we're going to be doing any ones under this. The critic score on Rotten Tomatoes for this film is 5%. And the one thing I will say is, this film is fairly bad. It ain't that bad. I will just say that. I think the audience score is probably more on par, like 30-something percent. But again, I don't know if it's like, I don't know, like, I don't know how I feel about this film. Because it is bad. But it's like, I didn't watch it and think, oh, that was awful. I just went like, no, that was pretty bad. It's just a mess of a film. Like, everything about it, like, so the plot is a kind of good idea. Gonna skip Christmas for 1 year because the family's daughter has moved away, so they're kind of sad about it. So I'll just skip Christmas, we'll go to a cruise or something like that, and we actually save money as well and stuff like that. And then the whole neighborhood is completely distraught about this and thinks it's a horrible idea, and Tim Allen's character pretty much gets villainized by the whole neighborhood, and it's just kind of them trying to fight to try and somewhat survive in a sense until they can go on the cruise. But the issue is that like 30-40 minutes is a film, they just gave up on that plot line and made it a different film. That doesn't last. Like, the actual main plot of this film just kind of stops at 40 minutes, kind of. And they decide to go, oh, now it's just them trying to create a Christmas party as quick as possible for the rest of, like, the hour we had left. I don't know what this film was doing, man. It's so weird. How do you feel about this?
Do you know what? I think 5%'s quite harsh. I mean,
I agree. I mean,
I'm not going to lie. I watched this film after a relatively long shift at work, and I was tired, and I stuck it on, and I actually didn't have a terrible time. I found myself laughing a couple of times. The line that got me chuckling the most was, I'm laughing about it now because it's probably like really dumb script writing, but really clever at the same time. So Tim Allen's character Luther and Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously Nora, they're kind of skipping Christmas, and there's one of their neighbours called Vic Frohmeyer, who's meant to be kind of like the guy of the neighbourhood. And there's a part in the film where Luther, after his wife said something, is like, who's he going to call? And for those of you old enough listening, Vic Frohmeyer is played by Dan Aykroyd, who is famously one of the Ghostbusters, which is the tagline from that film. And I was like, oh, that's like either genius script writing or just really silly. But I found it quite funny.
A silly Easter egg reference.
Which was funny, though. I liked it. I thought you would have noticed it. I noticed it. It was actually quite funny. I chuckled at it because it kind of got me. Because of my age, I know the reference. I think it might have went by people, they maybe missed it or whatever, but you know,
I don't know if people would miss it. I think Ghostbusters is still pretty big today. But maybe, I mean, maybe they didn't recognize him, that's fair. Like, I didn't realize it was Dan Aykroyd until I rewatched. Like, I had seen like a part of this film before until I like rewatched it again here, and I saw it in the credits, and I was like, oh, that's Dan Aykroyd.
Like I said, there's some funny parts to the film. You know, it's not, I don't think it's terrible either. I mean, like, Joe Roth, the director, he's got numerous credits in filmography in terms of producer, exec producer. I mean, he's not got that many directing credits. I think he's only directed like six films. But in terms of, you know, producing credits, he's done a lot. So I just don't think it's as bad as people maybe make out. But then again, maybe I'm watching this with a sort of open mind and not being super critical. Is it as good as the other films that we've done so far? Probably not. Well, Office Christmas Party is a bit of a dumpster fire as well, so I mean they're probably quite comparable. But another name attached to this was Chris Columbus, who seems to be quite in the sphere of Christmas movie making or movie writing. He'd done this, the film is based on a John Grisham novel, so it's an adapted screenplay, but he adapted it for the screen. And for those of you who are not familiar with Chris Columbus, he's obviously more famous for being the director of Home Alone, you know, and things like that. But not only that, like, I just because I seen him as a screenplay writer on this film, I had to have a look and see, you know, is he somebody that sort of likes Christmas? He'd done the first couple of Harry Potter films. Most of the time, the holiday season rolls around in those films. Obviously, he's done Home Alone 1 and 2. He was a producer on Jingle All the Way, which is an Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas film, which, spoiler alert, will be featuring on this series of podcasts. He was a producer on The Christmas Chronicles, the first one, but he also was the writer, director, and producer of the second Christmas Chronicles film.
Really? So
he seems to really like Christmas.
I knew I saw his name. Do you know what? I did see his... Yeah, I saw the director. Saw his name
Chris
earlier
Columbus,
today.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's actually... funnily enough. So, I mean, is this film all that bad? It's got a lot of people that are really famous in it, you know. A lot of the actors in it as well are people that people will know, and sort of well-known actors as well. Some of parts seem to... Do you know what, if you said John Grisham novel, Chris Columbus, Christmas movie, Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis, Dan Aykroyd, you would think that adding all those parts together, you would actually have some form of decent film out the end of it. But for whatever reason, it just didn't get there somehow. But yeah, I just think 5% is incredibly low. It is quite dumb. It's pretty simple. It's a load of hiding from the neighbours, and it's a bit silly, I suppose, there's no depth to this at all whatsoever. John Grisham, like I say, is a well-known author. Maybe they didn't properly read the book, or maybe this is just one of the John Grisham novels that it was just super light-hearted, because he's known for writing things like The Firm and, you know, books like that, which are kind of more, I would say, thriller-ish I would say that, like The Pelican Brief, like The Client, Time to Kill, The Rainmaker, Gingerbread Man, Runaway Jury, they're all kind of thriller-ish, whereas this one is obviously Christmas. So yeah, maybe it's just not his best work as a writer either, but it's, I mean, can't blame John Grisham for the movie, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's a weird one. It is a weird one. Who's the kid? What is he in? Is that Malcolm in the Middle? Or
it's Malcolm. You're right.
Malcolm in the Middle, isn't it?
He's the young one. He's the younger brother in Malcolm in the Middle. I knew I recognised him. I was really bothering me.
That's Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah,
massive
Malcolm
fucking ears. Fucking, he's like Dumbo. Could take off.
Eric Per Sullivan. Yeah. Yay! It's a nice wee bit of placement. Skipping Christmas, they actually use the novel's title in the newspaper article about them skipping Christmas. There's a part in the film where they're getting sort of pre-tanned before their cruise, and they kind of it's quite a silly scene because the priest sees Nora in a bikini. That's him. I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one.
I don't know. Like, I think the concept itself was a good idea, but it was executed pretty badly. I mean, first of all, I don't think the humor was funny at all. But I just think it was so weird. So, Tim Allen's character in this film just gets completely villainized, and I can't tell. Are we meant to be against him or not? Like, because by the end of the film, he's the one who's completely seen to be in the wrong, and he changed somewhat, has a change of heart at the end of the film. Not really, but like, so I get confused, because for most of the film, I was kind of on his side. I feel like everyone was insane. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is like in the middle. She's like, I'll go on this cruise. But to be honest, she seems like everyone else. She seems to kind of still want to do the Christmas. It's mainly just him. And it really comes to a part of him being really selfish. He starts doing really weird things in the film. Like, he gets Botox, the tanning part. Like, I didn't see that fitting in the film. I think they were just there for silly gag. Because it's like, as the film went on, they were turning him up of him being more self, more selfish and more like a Scrooge. It was really weird. I don't know why.
What happened to his Botox? How did it all of a sudden change?
Yeah, this is what it's the same thing with his tan. Like, he was super tanned and it's gone. Yeah. Botox, it's one of those films. It's one of the films with something stupid. Like, Botox doesn't fucking go away like that. It's just, it's gag and then take it away, you know what I mean? Like,
What does he do for a living? That's what I've been trying to work out.
Some sort of accountant thing, I'm guessing. I don't know. But, like, I just don't get it. Right, I get that he's not going to do Christmas, right? Going on a cruise. Why can he not do anything? Why can he not donate? Maybe saving money, but, like, he's saving quite a lot of money. Why can he not do it? It's the fact that he's like, I cannot associate with Christmas at all. You can't even put just a couple decorations up. You can't just put your Frosty. All you've got to do is just put your Frosty outside and they can put it up. Oh, no, we're not doing that. Why not? That's all you have to do. It's just like, it makes it this thing that he literally can't do anything Christmassy. It's not saying Christmas car is not doing literally anything. I don't see why he had to make it so completely no Christmas. I guess that's how it makes the film kind of work. It 40 minutes in, it doesn't really matter, because suddenly the daughter's coming home again already. She must have been gone for what, like, I don't know, a month.
Was that only 40 minutes in?
Yep.
So does that mean, like, and for an hour they were trying to save Christmas?
Yep.
That's weird. I never noticed that when I was watching it. But like I said, I was extremely tired.
It's like they went, fuck it, let's just do this instead. I've never read the book. Maybe the book's kind of similar, but I thought the whole thing was about skipping Christmas, not fucking quickly throwing a party together.
I mean, I can understand why I didn't want to partake in any form of festivities. Like, if they were going away, they wanted to save money. He spent $6,000 on Christmas. That's a lot. If you're spending $6,000 a year on Christmas every year, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, and he's probably, by the sounds of it, it seems as though they're the ones that are the life and souls. Is everybody else spending money? She throws a Christmas Eve party every year. So it's her every year, and folk were moaning about it, and I'm like, how about somebody else spends the money and throws a party? Like, I would get annoyed. See, if that was me, like, I'm not going to lie, like, if I was married and had kids and stuff, and that's fine, I would like Christmas. I actually do quite like Christmas, but we'd come to the point where you would start to realise that you were the one that was getting taken advantage of and being like, wait a minute, what about everybody else? Like, I don't see them holding Christmas Eve parties every year. So why do I need to be the one? Oh, so it's like, oh, it's your turn to have Frosty the snowman. It's like, well, but if it's that big a deal, how can somebody else not just do it? Like, that's my argument. It's like, just, you know, he was standing by his guns, and I quite liked that. Obviously, eventually it changes.
Yeah, I
don't think it's fair that he was getting villainized. Didn't do himself any favors, you know, the tan and the Botox and that kind of stuff, fair. But if he wants to save a bit of money, right, fair enough. How much is a Christmas tree? Like, you know, you could maybe put a Christmas tree up and stuff. That's fine. But to get involved in all, because it was at the start, relatively near the start of the film, when Nora goes to lunch with her friends and they all complain that she's not throwing a party. I'm like, that's a bit selfish. You're not thinking about your friend, you're thinking about yourself. That's bullshit, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel as though that Nora's character is the type of person that would just do what anybody asks her to do.
Yeah,
and
she's
that's kind of
shit. Like no character. She's not really on anyone's side in this film. She's just kind of like, Tim Allen wants to do this cruise thing, and she's just kind of like, okay. But at the same time, she's just like, we can just do Chris. She just seems like she'll just do whatever, and she doesn't actually have think for herself almost, it seems like, which mm-hmm. I find kind of bizarre. Until her daughter's coming back, and suddenly that's main priority. But it's...
Well, I mean, I can understand the whole concept. Like, if you put your... You can try and think about it this way, right? If you had a kid or a couple of kids that had eventually got old enough to leave the house, you maybe, unless you had grandchildren, like if they'd went off and got married and had grandkids and they would come in, for a period of your life, you'd probably be like, I'm not really interested in Christmas. I've done it for 20 plus years. Now, this is the first year where I don't have to do it. How about, do you know what? I quite fancy going on holiday. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I know people that are like that want to go away this time of the year because they want to just go and sit in the sunshine and they don't want to deal with it. Some people don't want to be reminded of, you know, the joy that everybody else is having, and that's a true thing, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they should have been villainized for it. It's a bit of a shit angle for the film, and it seems to be the way it was, that you're like the social pariah or the buzzkill because you're skipping Christmas.
Yeah, like, pardon my French, but the whole neighbourhood are a bunch of cunts. Like,
true,
they
I agree.
Suck. Like, this is what confuses me. It's like, are we meant to be on their side? Because I definitely fucking am not. Like, they're just like, oh, I just want to go on a cruise. They just, like, it's like, they're wrong. Like, literally, everything that Jonathan said is literally how it works. So I don't know what, are we meant to root for the people who want to go? Or it seems like we're meant to be rooting for the other ones. Yeah. For the rest of the neighborhood, they're all saying, "Oh, that's what you could be doing Christmas," but no, I feel like they're being just complete fucking dicks. And then also at the end of the film, when Tim Allen gives the tickets away, how is it okay for them to go away on a cruise? Is it just as they can?
I think
it
might be
Christmas?
Like an age thing. I mean, they're
is
really
an age
old.
Thing? Oh, they're not hosting a party. They're sitting in a house by themselves. Why are they not at the party? Why are they sitting by themselves?
Because I don't think that Luther and Walt get on with each other.
Yeah. Another thing I want to bring up is with that old guy's wife. I think she is meant to be having... I think she's got cancer, I think.
Yeah.
And they said that this would probably be her last Christmas and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of hinted at for the film that Tim Allen's actually quite good friends with her. Although not friends with the husband, it's not really brought up a lot. I guess that is another one of the main reasons why they did bring give the tickets in the end. But it's again, it's hardly said, it's hardly hinted at. It's just kind of the film's too messy to even do anything really. It's just it's like almost the film a lot of times is, especially for the first like I said for the first kind of 40 minutes, it's more of a montage of stuff happening
mm-hmm.
than actually just like a film itself.
Yeah, pretty much, aye. It's like a loads of little bits sort of pieced together, obviously, like a montage. Why do I need to explain what a montage is?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bev, Walt's wife does. She's in remission, but, you know, they're getting old and they know that life... I mean, they didn't want to take the holiday, but ultimately decide to take it. What's really baffling me is the end of the film when Luther, who was meant to be this Scrooge-like character, decides that he finally admits that skipping Christmas wasn't a great idea. Then his wife suggests that they should do it next year. Hell, what's the fucking point in that? You could have just stuck by your guns and done it this year. The film makes no sense.
That's just the issue. I think the film halfway through realised what they were doing was kind of dumb. So they tried to make Tim Allen out to be as selfish as possible, and so they made it more about him being selfish than like just going on a cruise. So that's like, oh, he's doing this because he's just caring for himself and not for his family or anything. But it's, I don't know, it's just kind of shit. It's like, I feel they forced it. I think they forced it into that position to kind of make it that it still didn't work very well. They're gonna do it next year. He done this nice thing. He's no longer a Scrooge for trying to skip Christmas 1 year, just for 1 year. Is there anything else really to say about this film? For like a film that's, by the way, I just want to mention also the budget of this film was, let me see, was
60 million,
and it actually did make profit. Not a huge profit, but it did make a little bit of profit. It's just, there's no excuse for this film being like this. With three big kind of actors in it, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tim Allen, Dan Aykroyd. How did this happen? This film is infamous. It actually is. Like, again, it's not as bad as the Rotten Tomatoes score is, but it is bad. Just so you know. I wouldn't recommend this one, but I mean, hey, if you want to go and watch it, then fair enough. It's not, like I said, it's not the worst one. Not the worst film I've ever seen, or definitely not the worst Christmas film I've ever seen. It's just a complete and utter mess of a film, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at an article just now, just in real time while we're recording this, and I feel as though there's a lot of the stuff that we've said was brought up, and for the most part, the very, very first thing that's brought up is the fact that Luther unfairly comes off as selfish, which I think is unfair.
Yeah.
He wants to do like his own thing. I think it's a bit silly. The second part is very true. The Cranks could have just not said anything, but he made a point of writing a letter.
Yeah, that was weird.
Giving it out
to
everybody, sort of telling people. I mean,
Nobody. I am not having Christmas this year. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's a bit silly. We spoke about the neighbours. That was and another thing. We spoke about that. The town's residents rely on the Cranks too much. Yeah,
the
guy
that
wants the Christmas card guy, and you know the Christmas. Oh, you need the party. You need Frosty. We need you to be part. It's like all the bullshit, man. There's all the sort of silly things in this film. Yeah. Anyway, are we done talking about it?
Yep. Let's just quickly go to score. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, Baron.
Yeah. Pretty much just everything. Like it's not a good film. Not the worst film ever. Not a 5%. It's a little bit above that. I would honestly say the audience score is roundabout probably correct of where this film should be rated. The critics really fucking didn't like it. That's fair. It's not a good film. It's just. I think when you're talking about a 5% film, you're really talking about a specific film that's fucking terrible. And this is not that. It's just bad. Which in a way is kind of worse than a film that's utterly awful, because a film that's utterly awful can sometimes be a little bit enjoyable. But it's just bad. It's a complete mess. They didn't do it very well. Don't like how they completely villainized Tim Allen for kind of doing something that seemed like a good idea. And at the start of the film, it seemed like he was trying to cheer up his wife. That's why he came up with the idea. But no, then they kind of force it at the end of the film to make it seem how he's selfish. And this film is not very good. I would probably say it's worse than Office Christmas Party. Yeah, I think it's easily worse than Office Christmas Party, but not by much. So I'm going to give it a 1.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I can understand. And I agree with all the points that Kenzie's made. I don't really want to elaborate too much more. We've been speaking for a while on this film, a film which we're both a bit confused by. And yeah, Tim Allen gets villainized for wanting to do something for himself rather than other people. And yeah, that can come across as people going, well, you're selfish, the only thing about yourself. But sometimes you have to put yourself first. And to be honest with you, he's quite rightly got the right to do so. And he shouldn't be told any otherwise by people. You know, it's pretty tough to see that. Yeah, this film's not very good. It's definitely not a recommendation from us here at the podcast. And I kind of agree. Do you know, I think Office Christmas Party is pretty bad as well. They're both pretty bad. Office Christmas Party is okay though. I would probably watch Office Christmas Party over this.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, and I think I gave Office Christmas Party a 2.
You did?
So that means that this is a 1.5 also for me. But yeah, like I said in the White Christmas episode, things are subject to change. But I don't see me even taking the time to change the low films. It's probably films that are nearer the sort of top of the ratings that might get juggled about, you know, a la White Christmas for me. That could sort of be risen up a wee bit, you know. But yeah, that's a 1.5 from both of us. It's a hard no, pass, don't watch. But if you believe what people say on streaming services, I'm pretty sure this has got a 4.7 out of 5 on Amazon. So yeah, make up your own mind. If you like what we say and you kind of agree with us for the most part in the films that we talk about, and if you went out and watched them and agreed with us, yeah, but that would be a hard pass for us. I think Kenzie agrees with that. It's not a recommendation.
It's not even like a terrible film. Like, see, if it was like a completely awful film, I'd be like, watch it because it's that bad. It's just bad, so it's not even like there's no like fun relief in it. For it's just not very good. I mean, hey, it is kind of infamous if you want to check out for yourself to see how kind of dumb the concept is. Well, the concept's not dumb, it's how it's orchestrated. It's not great. So yeah, it ain't a recommendation. I would, unless you're really interested, don't watch it.
Yeah, there's so much more. So many more holiday seasonal films that are much better than this, so I would check them out before this if you haven't checked out some of the other ones that we've done already that are ones that we recommend. So yeah, it's another episode in the books for Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. We are counting down 24 days of Christmas on the podcast. We hope you're having a lovely time listening. We love to talk about movies, and even if they're bad movies like this one, if you'd like to check out past episodes of the podcast, you can do so by giving us a wee search on Google. If you can call it Film Cafe, we've got a unique Google search. We will pop up. It's probably the easiest way to find us, or you can just search for us on your streaming platform of choice. That would be great. And if you'd like to give us a little follow over on Instagram and Twitter, that would also be immense. That we are at Cult Film Cafe on both of those. So without further ado, it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Podcast out.